and welcome to Backflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us at Backflips_Nerds on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/Backflips and Nerds. I'm your host today, Tom Pringle. There are plenty of other podcasts out there at the moment already producing their season previews. They'll probably be a lot more in-depth and with more analysis. But here in Backflips and Nerds, we're trying to decide to do something just a little bit different. So we're inviting British fans of teams to come onto the podcast and talk about their team, all with a little bit of a British twist. We've got no clever order for this whatsoever. It's literally who's available at this time. So without further delay, today we'll be joining me to talk about the Seattle Mariners is Hal Stewart. How are you, Hal?
Hey, yeah, great. What an introduction. I like it.
I've been working on it for months, this one, just waiting for the season to begin.
No.
I'll be honest with you, I've got little knowledge of the Mariners. With them being a West Coast team and being on at silly times in the night, I'd try and avoid them, if I'm honest. But I'm looking forward to the pod to find out what's going on.
It's a really good thing to say, Ash. I wish if I could do it all over again, I'd be a Red Sox fan, because the time, I didn't think about it. You know, you're absolutely right. The West Coast swing, that time difference, having to stay up so late to watch my beloved Mariners, it's killing me. I'm getting old, I'm going grey.
Yeah, it's not fun at all. I produced a podcast, a blog a while ago where I talked about the fact that the Cubs are probably the best ones for British fans because the amount of day games they do.
Yeah, that's true.
And you clearly be picked in the glory.
Yeah, and they're often on beating sport as well.
Yeah, exactly. Right then, so let's start off then. What made you a fan of the Mariners? What made you pick them?
Okay, so I am an NFL fan and I love the Green Bay Packers. And we actually, my wife and I, planned a trip to Seattle to see the Seahawks against the Green Bay Packers. And we thought, while we're there in Seattle, we'll take in a baseball game. And the Mariners happened to be playing the Texas Rangers in a three-day sort of event. And I thought, oh, we'll go all three. Why not? And I absolutely fell in love with baseball. I didn't really know anything about it. I'd been watching a few games before I went out. I'd been really impressed with Felix Hernandez. I'd watched him throw a shutout game against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. And then I saw in my first game... Gutierrez, gutted that Gutierrez is no longer a Mariner. He got the first homer I ever saw live at Safeco Field. He's now signed with the Dodgers. So, LA, what death to flying things really mean.
Yeah, so it sounds like you really hooked straight away. I mean, we had Dave Shaw last night at the time of the Phillies. He was exactly the same. He went into it with very little knowledge before he started watching the game. Did you follow cricket or anything before this?
No, I would say I played cricket at school, broke my arm playing cricket and thought, I don't like this now.
So you didn't like it at all? You didn't want to carry on from there?
That's right. So I didn't like cricket, wasn't into cricket. Baseball has been, over the past 5 years, like an entirely brand new learning experience. And I now think I've got to the stage where I do know quite a bit about it, certainly from a British perspective.
So what did you do to build up your knowledge? I, for example, started reading the book of How to Watch Baseball Smarter, but I also started playing Out to the Park Baseball and just looking at all the acronyms and everything and using the glossary and just going back and forth with it.
I love Out of the Park Baseball. I've played so many versions of that game. I'm going as far back as I think 13. I've also read lots of books, Tim Kirchen's books. They're particularly interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of books out there, which makes it a lot easier for us. And the fact that Amazon now, you can pick up books so cheap as well, especially when the second-hand ones, you can get them for a couple of pence and then they'll be posted to you.
True. For Dummies, I read that. I watched a lot of baseball. I've got MLB TV. I watch BT. I watch Baseball Tonight with Adnan Virk, who I now think is the greatest presenter on TV. Also, I've been since to several live MLB games across America, and that really helps your knowledge when you actually watch it.
Yeah, exactly. We're sitting with the guys that know the game as well. You mentioned MLB TV, so that's the way you're watching the game then. Are you watching an iPad or a laptop or using your PlayStation or Xbox?
I use a combination of all of those. I don't have a PlayStation. I watch mostly on the iPad. The great thing about MLB TV is that you can watch it the next day because obviously the games are starting at 3:10 in the morning, particularly for the Mariners. So I will usually catch it the next day. One thing they do need to fix is, like with NFL TV, they cut the ad breaks out and they stream it all together. They don't do that with MLB TV. So you have to sit watching, you know, this is a commercial break. I don't enjoy that.
Yeah, it's quite frustrating. I mean, I find that you're having to fast forward it all the time. But I found on the Xbox app, you can... you can click on top of the ninth, bottom of the ninth, whichever one you want. It'll just cut straight to the start of that inning, which is really good.
I've done that by mistake and ruined the entire game.
Well, that's your problem.
Yeah. And my problem. I have many.
So then, let's talk about the Mariners then themselves. So what happened then last year?
Oh, I mean, last year wasn't bad. Still no playoffs. The M's still no closer to breaking the World Series curse. It's been like 15 years since the Mariners got into the playoffs. They went 76, I think, if memory serves. The offense was powerful. 9 batters hitting at least 12 home runs. But the thing about last season that I really enjoyed and certainly caught my eye, the pitching staff had the third best ERA in the American League and the third most saves. So it was like a pretty strong bullpen. The starters weren't as good. Like everyone, even if they don't follow the Mariners, knows Felix Hernandez, King Felix. He was not the king last season.
But no, not at all. I mean, you mentioned the fact the ERA was down, but King Felix was not the man that was bringing it down at all.
No, not at all. If he comes back like we all know he can, though, the M's definitely have a real shot of topping the division and finally making the playoffs so I can watch a meaningful game in October.
Well, you mentioned about having the third most saves. Edwin Diaz is just incredible. When he came in against the Red Sox, it was one of the few games where I think my daughter might have woken me up that night and I happened to be sat there with my iPhone watching it. I was like, who is this kid? He's incredible.
Yeah, Edwin Diaz, I mean, that closer is the closer extraordinaire. He took Steve Cichek's job and he's striking out experienced names left, right and centre. So he's going to be, hopefully, the closer of the future because Fernando Rodney was the one that a lot of people had their hopes pinned on. I've seen him live several times and he was just all over the place towards the end and his Mariners career and just had to go. Edwin Diaz, yeah. Thankfully, has stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, I mean, last year as well, as you mentioned already, the record, the fact that it was 86 and 76, which isn't a bad record, really. If you look at
that wasn't enough.
No, but the range in the Astros is just so much stronger. The rotation, yeah, we've mentioned about that, it came down, but the ERA came down, but Felix wasn't great. Bullpen was great. The lineup, though, that can hit. It's a good lineup.
Oh, definitely. The thing is that the Astros, they always used to be famously known as the Lastros. They were never a team you had to worry about. But the Mariners now, I think, have a real shot of finishing above Houston.
Yeah, I think they do. It's, I mean, let's look at this season then. Let's go on to it. I mean, Pecota's got them ranked to do 87 and 75. So once again, a very similar record. But with everybody else, that puts them first in the wild card, according to the ranking.
Yeah, I mean, the wild card, I was looking at a few Mariners polls on Twitter. That's where the M's fans think they're going to be, wild card. I don't think that at all. The Mariners, very busy this offseason, making 10 different trades since November. Jerry DePota does not mess around. He is like Billy Bean, if Billy Bean was like Billy Bean in the movie Billy Bean's been in. Okay, I am excited about the lineup and the bullpen. The success of the Mariners' offense relies on the durability and the consistency, obviously, of the three key players. Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, and my hero, Kyle Seager, who I did go all the way to Seattle just to get a bobblehead of. he's the best third baseman in the entire world. Obviously.
Where is that bobblehead now? Where is it?
That bobblehead is pride of place where I have my man cave, which is where I am usually told to leave me alone, go upstairs, watch your boring baseball. And that is the bobblehead. That's a cue to get that. But anyway, I digress. The addition of Segura and Valencia should add a little bit of power. That's Danny Valencia, who's probably going to play first base. He used to play for the Oakland A's. And Segura is a shortstop. So it'll be good to see both of those. But Dyson as well, we know from Kansas City, going to provide a bit of speed on the base paths. The bottom of the order could be a surprise. I like Mike Zunino, the catcher. He had a really strong end to last season, was hitting a lot of homers. That's kind of all he does, is either homers or nothing.
And I mean, he's a good framing catcher. He's going to get you some runs that way, but his batting average is so low. I mean, is it time to look for another catcher? Is that what they should be thinking?
The Mariners have a new catcher in Carlos Ruiz, so we'll wait and see if he actually ousts Zunino. Zunino is very popular with the Mariners fans, even though, as he quite rightly says, his batting average is pretty poor. The squad definitely has potential to rank in the top 10 again in runs scored and should compete with the Astros for the title in the AL West. I do predict a first place ahead of Houston with the Rangers in third.
Wow, that's a big show. Just some little bits that I picked up then when I was looking up for the Mariners before this podcast. Payroll, we're looking at $148 million for the year, which is pretty high. I mean, we're talking sort of Yankee-style payroll.
The Mariners is always high.
Yeah. I mean, King Felix, as you've already said, he's picking up $26 million in the next 2 years. He's got $27 million in 19. And then, I didn't realise this, he's got a very strange, bizarre club option of 2020 of $1 million. Which is MLB minimum. And that's just in case he blows his elbow out. And that's purely what it's there for.
And the thing is, with Felix, he's been one of these pitchers who's been, and I'm touching a lot of wood here, who's been incredibly lucky with injury and hasn't had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, he's done very well. Farm system, though, that's now dropped down to 28th ranking, according to Keith Lord. So you are very much committed this year.
I'm very concerned about the farm system. There's no real arms coming out of the farm. And when there are, in the past, when I've got attached to some, I like to say, youngster coming through, of course, it's not like it is in the UK where you have players from the area come through and play for their club. It's not like that at all. But every time we've had someone that I've thought, oh, I like the look of him, they're traded for a win-now player. And I think you're absolutely right. The M's are committed to this season.
Yeah. And as you've already mentioned, Jerry DePoto is the guy that is going to make those trades. He has no fear of just getting rid of guys and getting somebody else in to take the place.
Yeah, totally.
So let's think. We've spoken about quite a lot of players there, but who's your outside player who's not being recognised for their talents?
I mean, it's tough. We've mentioned Edwin Diaz. I don't think I can call him an outside player because everyone knows about him now. Certainly last season, if you'd asked me, I would have said him. I wish I would have said that, but I certainly would have pretended.
Like some Nostradamus.
Yeah. Mitch Haniger. I don't know a lot about him. I like the name Mitch. It could be a surprise as he's a bit of an unknown quantity. I don't know enough about him, but I've read a little bit that, you know, if he finds his swing, he could be the man. Mitch Haniger is going to be playing most likely right field, maybe Ben Gamel. Kind of. That is an area of concern, actually, right field and first base. But possibly him. I think I'll pump, actually, for someone I know more about, which is a utility player and a Washington native, a Seattle Mariners fan, Sean O'Malley. I like him. Goes quietly about his business. Plus, against the Padres last season, O'Malley played a vital role in the biggest comeback in club history. He drove in a game-winning run with an RBI single. The Mariners won 16-13 against the Padres, and he's a shortstop as well.
I seem to remember waking up one morning, and I mentioned this in the blog post about how I watch it, going downstairs, making my coffee, looking at my iPhone and going, oh, there's still a game on, and flicking that game on and just staring in disbelief. Watching it finish. That was an incredible game.
I loved it because my brother-in-law is a long-suffering Padres fan.
Well, we might have to get him on the show then. We've already got a Padres guy on, but I do have a very, very much a soft spot for the Padres.
I've got a lot of time for my brother-in-law. He's a great guy, but if you were to say to him, who's Jared Weaver, he wouldn't know. So he's a Padres fan, but he's a Padres fan. You know?
It's probably for the best, really.
Yeah, probably, definitely. He's got all the gear.
I think you've already done your bold, wild prediction, but let's see if you've got a different one. What is your bold, wild prediction for this season?
Okay, this isn't bold or wild, but Kyle Seager to win a gold glove, because that's what I want. Not that wild a prediction. How about Cuban Guillermo Heredia, I can never say his name right, although that actually sounded quite good, to steal 7 bags in one game and tie the record.
7 in a game, okay.
He is the fastest player on the Mariners roster.
Okay, I'm just quickly writing that down to make sure we grab it mid-season, then we'll see how we get in it.
Yeah.
So we'll go on to some very silly questions now. It's up to you how you want to answer them, whether you perceive that it's this what this person's like, or if you've got an insider knowledge.
Okay.
So if you're on a night out, who's going to get the kebab at the end of the night out?
Now, you know, I want to sort of preface this by saying I have met several Mariners players. And one thing, I went out to Tampa Bay to watch the Mariners in Tampa in Tropicana Field. And Root Sport, who cover the Mariners, they were quite interested because I made a nice big sign saying I flew all the way to England to root for the Mariners and had Root written on the way that the TV company is. So they actually did an interview with me and got me to meet the team. And I got Brad Miller to sign a ball. He then hit 2 homers in that game. I kept that. I got to meet, you know, Michael Saunders and quite a few others anyway. None of them are still there. So I got to meet a few and get an idea for the personality. Not a single one of them is still on that Mariners roster. That's what happens when you got DePoto. So I am playing a bit of guesswork because I don't know this team personality-wise as well as I did a few years ago. But last season, if I was to say kebab after a night out, Adam Lind or Dae Ho Lee, because they're both overweight. Now, I'd probably just say Dan Vogelbach because he's also fat.
That's pretty broad brush, but I like it. Speaking of Adam Lindt, have you seen his video of him farting at the plate?
By the time this podcast is out, I will have done.
Oh, right. You need to look it up. It's incredible. And it's about a 7-second vine, and you watch it and you go, did he fart? I'm not sure. You can see the fart. It's
wow. Incredible. You can see a fart. I remember David Batty doing a poo on the pitch, the footballer. But that, yeah, Lindt.
Who was that for? Was that for Newcastle?
I think it was for Leeds back in the day, but it might have been Blackburn.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Right then, so who's going to claim not to have cash during the taxi ride home then?
I think probably Robinson Cano, because it would just be so ridiculous. Yeah. Everyone would be like, what, you? You don't have any money? Yeah, come on.
You're like, oh, I've left my wallet at home. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, you have to see it again.
Who's going to stay in and watch the Great British Bake Off then instead of going out for that pint?
Okay, I'm basing this purely on the fact that this guy has been playing for the Mariners for what feels like 10 years and has at no point bothered to learn English. So he appears to me to be quite a boring chap because he just has someone else speak for him every time he's interviewed. So I would say Hishashi Iwakuma, the pitcher.
Wow, so he'd be getting his Dundee cake ready to go, would he?
I don't know, the guy just seems bland, and I find Great British Bake Off boring and bland. So I'm putting I'm marrying those two things together.
I'm completely with you. What is the point in that programme?
Well, my wife likes it, but whenever she's watching that, I'm watching, you know, baseball tonight.
Yeah, the same. Can't complain too much. Okay, then speaking of Dundee cakes and Dundee, who's the nutter who's going to drive barefoot to Dundee?
Dundee, where I was born, and being a radio presenter, people call me Alan Partridge, so I liked this question.
Oh, excellent.
Well, you know Brendan Ryan. I mean, he's a shortstop. I think he's now at the Phillies, but he was at the Yankees. He was with the Mariners before. Brendan Ryan, in the old days, was always someone who you heard was crazy, was very funny. I think Brendan Ryan, were he still on the Mariners roster, if I can have like a kind of wild card choice here, he'd be the guy, because of all the players I've ever heard of in the history of MLB, everyone says Brendan Ryan, funniest guy they've ever played with. So he'd be someone to do something silly like that.
Brilliant. Okay, we'll wrap up then. So can you recommend a Twitter account, blog, beat writer, or anyone that you enjoy whilst following the team?
Yes, there's a girl called Ashley, and she writes about West Coast baseball, and she does regular newsletter-type emails that she sends out, and she's very funny and very knowledgeable. And I thought the fact that she's a woman who is following baseball in that kind of cybermetric detail is actually quite rare. And I'm not being sexist at all. I don't find a lot of women into cybermetrics, but she is. And she's at W Coast Fangirl.
W Coast Fangirl. Right. We'll make sure she gets a mention tomorrow when this goes out.
I mean, she doesn't deserve a mention because I've tweeted her several times and she never responded, but I'm throwing it out there anyway.
Not interested. Do you, out of interest, there's one Seattle writer that I do follow that's called Meg Rowley, if you follow her.
I will start.
So her name, actually, on Twitter is Me Growler, which is quite strange. Yeah, it's Meg Rowley, and she writes a baseball prospectus as well. Yeah.
I usually call them beat writers in the States, which I think for the Mariners, because they get beaten so often, is quite accurate, but I don't really know what a beat writer means.
No, I'm guessing it's someone that just follows the team. I've never even looked that up. It's a very good point.
On the beat, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good one. Right then, we'll wrap up. So thank you for joining us on this episode of Backflips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Hal for joining me. Hal, where can they find you on Twitter?
At DJ Hal Stewart. That's HALSTEWART.
And do you want to just quickly explain why it's DJ Hal?
Because I'm a disc jockey in the very saddest sense. I'm a radio broadcaster for BFBS. I actually have several Twitter accounts. You know me on a slightly different one, but that's the one that people actually follow.
Okay, that's fair enough. And BFBS, I have to say, as a man in the military, do a great job, to be fair. It might sound a bit silly and blasé for me to go, oh, they do a great job while Hal's on the podcast, but he actually does. And it's so nice to actually hear a friendly voice in the radio wherever you can be in the world.
Please, please.
Say again, sorry.
Please keep talking. Say more nice things.
Go and listen to BFBS. You can get them on DAB. You can get BFBS Bryce Norton also on DAB, etc., etc. I'm sure you've got a read for that.
Yeah, yeah. You can get our free app. It's absolutely free. You can also get us on Sky Channel 0211, Freesat 786, FM around the globe, and online at bfbs.com.
Wow, that was impressive. You just slipped straight into it then, didn't you? Right then, I've been your host today, Tom Pringle, and you can find me at Pedroia's Face. That's the second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. You can contact the show on Twitter, batflips_nerds, or on Facebook, facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. Please do send us an email. We'd like your comments, suggestions, points, all at batflipsnerds@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Batflips and Nerds. And please do give us a rating because it makes it easier for folk to find us on our podcast. Please tell your baseball friends about us. Doesn't matter if they aren't British. We accept all sorts. So once again, thanks again, Al. And thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Cheers.